Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We appreciate Gary Templeton, the legendary Padres shortstop, spending a little time with us on the program this afternoon. Gary, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
We are good. I'm good. Tony's jet-lagged. He missed, they canceled his flight yesterday, so you've probably been a part of that before.
Oh yeah, I've been there and done that.
Gary, I gotta ask you a little bit about Fernando Tatis Jr. Obviously, you played the position as well as anybody I've ever seen play it. What's been your impressions on the young kid, just from a defensive standpoint?
Wow, I'll tell you what, you know, he had a good teacher somewhere down the line, because I mean, the kid knows how to play the position. He positioned himself well. He gets, when he feels the ball, he gets in a good throwing position where he has a cannon over the first. I mean, you know, this guy's a keeper. I mean, growing up as a kid, he must have either watched his father play a lot, or somebody was teaching him along the way, because he has it all. I mean, you know, I've watched him, and I think that he's going to be one of the best shortstops to play in this league for a while, as long as he can stay healthy.
I just want to let that sink in. I mean, that's pretty really nice comment coming from Gary Templeton about Fernando Tatis Jr. Gary, I'm curious, when you played shortstop to playing today, you watch the game now. If you played shortstop now, would you play it any differently than the way you played back in the 1980s with the Padres?
Well, no, I wouldn't play any differently, but the way they play now, they defense people, it seems like they play everybody to pull, so the middle of the diamond is wide open, because I see balls that are hit that should be caught, but, you know, because of, I guess, the analytics that say that, I guess, 90% of the guys pull the ball, everybody plays, everybody to hit the ball in the hole, so the middle of the diamond is open. But I didn't have no problems covering the backhand side, so, you know, I would have probably played it the same way unless they moved me, because, you know, when we were coming up, we didn't want nothing going up to the middle of the diamond. That you had to catch that stuff.
Yeah,
the backhand, you know, that was extra. That was extra. If you could go over and backhand and fall and come up and throw somebody out, you know, that was a bonus. That was a plus. But nothing up the middle. You got to get those balls up the middle.
So that's why Tony hit to the 5.5 hole, because the shortstops weren't there.
Right. Well, you know, the thing about it is that Tony, you know, he was a spray hitter, so, you know, you couldn't play him one certain way. So,
yeah,
you know, that was a big advantage you have, you know, back when Tony played, where, you know, the way he hits now, I don't know if they would have pitched him any differently and played him any differently. But, you know, that hole was wide open because, you know, you're a spray hitter. You can't just load one side of the diamond.
Former Padre Gary Templeton joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Gary, you've been in this city forever, and we've been, over the last 6 years, you've been hearing about this plan that the Padres had in place. Are you starting to see the bones of the plan that the Padres have been talking about for years? And should fans be encouraged by what they're seeing this year so far?
Yeah, I would. I think that they're finally starting to fall in place. I think the biggest headache, the fans should really be encouraged. I just think that the biggest headache the Padres have is trying to figure out who's going to play, because they got so much talent, and they're all fighting for the same spot. So I would be really encouraged. I think the pitching is starting to come along. I mean, they're having some tough outs, but, you know, sometimes they don't get the support that they need. But, you know, right now the team is pretty solid with good young players, got a couple veterans that are handling their business. And I tell you, I enjoy watching them play now, because it's fun. You know that they have a chance to win every time they go out there every night. So, you know, it's a lot funner. You can see the talent. I mean, the talent is there. It's just a matter of who they want to play.
Yeah. Gary Templeton is with us, the former Padres shortstop, probably the greatest Padres shortstop of them all. Fernando Tatis Jr., he wants that title, I think, one of these days. I think he wants to take it from you, Gary. Did you ever tag up and score on a pop-up to the infield like he did yesterday?
I think I may have done it a couple times.
That a baby. I figured you did.
Right. Well, you got to remember, when I was young, I had lightning speed. So, you know, I wasn't afraid to take chances. Yeah, I wasn't afraid to take chances. But, this kid, I tell you, you can't say enough about Tatis. I mean, he's a hefty player, smart. I mean, he makes all good decisions.
What are some – because you guys have a similar frame, right? 6'3", 6'4"-ish is Fernando Tatis Jr. What are some of the advantages of being a tall shortstop? What are some of the disadvantages?
Well, Tony – I don't know if there is advantages or disadvantages because, you know, Mark Blanger was about 6'3 with Baltimore, and he was one of the best defensive shortstops to ever play the game. And I just think that the only disadvantage is he might, you know, get a little bigger and a little stronger, and I don't know if that'll take him out of that position. But as far as I'm concerned, as long as he stay, you know, in pretty good shape and – I don't know if there's anybody that can beat him out of that position. Not unless they have somebody hiding in the wings, but, you know, this kid is something else. I mean, there's really no advantage or disadvantage of being hype, you know, but you know how baseball is. They say, well, he outgrew the position, and they're moving maybe third or something. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't see no advantages or disadvantages to it. So if he got them long arms, he can reach a little bit more than those guys that are 5'11", 6'6". He got a little more reach than those guys.
Hey, Gary, what do you tell fans and you know, people who come and see you and remember you as a Padre player about this team in terms of being patient? I mean, after a weekend like this in Pittsburgh where you have three very difficult losses, I mean, as a former player, I'm sure you went through it many times. What do you tell fans, and how do you try to keep them patient? Because everybody wants this whole thing to come together right now. I don't blame them, but it's not really realistic.
Well, what I tell people is, I say, you got to understand, you know, that all of the talent is just now coming together. And I think I might have mentioned it on a radio show earlier this year. I say, well, you know, the young hitters are here. And if the young pitchers can catch up to the young hitters, then that's when you have a championship team. And, you know, right now the pitchers are just a little bit behind them. So just be patient because everything is there. You know, it's just a matter of the pitching kind of catching up to the hitters right now because the hitters are getting big hits. They're scoring runs. You know, they're losing some tough ball games. But and plus they don't have the bullpen they had last year. I mean, that bullpen last year was a little stronger, I do believe. But, you know, it takes time when you're starting to put the pieces and they start to come together. So, you know, I would say, hey, you know, let's be patient because, you know, they're winning. You know, they're winning, you know, but they ran up against a hot-hitting Pittsburgh Pirate team. So couldn't make mistakes against those guys.
Gary, really enjoyed talking with you. I have done a talk show for, like, 100 years. I don't think I've ever had Gary Templeton on before. So this is my first chance to ever ask you about the famous phrase, if I ain't starting, I ain't departing. I've heard that you really didn't say that, but it has been credited to you over the years. I personally think you should take credit for it because it's one of the funniest comments I've ever heard in my life about going to the All-Star game. But I wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth. What really happened on that?
You really want to know the truth?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. All right. After a game in St. Louis, and I went in to do a radio show with Jack Buck, and so he was interviewing me, and Jack Buck said, if you're not starting, you're not departing. I said, yes. And the next morning I get up, it was all across America. Templeton says, if he's starting,
there you go.
He's
okay.
That's
what I told him, Big Gary, behind the scenes. I was like, I don't think he really said it. I was told that that was just attributed to you.
But it should be attributed to you because it's a classic.
Right. Right. It was
an all-time classic.
But then it stuck through the years that I said it. So, I mean, you know, it's a, like you said, it's a good phrase. So if I ain't starting, I ain't departing.
It is a good phrase. Okay. Hey, Gary, thanks so much for the time. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll catch up with you later in the season. Appreciate you joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Right now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, the Big Bad Morning Show. I like that name. Oriole reporter, it's Jerry Coleman from Baltimore as the Padres are headed in that direction. Jerry, how are you today? Thanks for joining us out here.
Thanks for having me, Chris and Tony. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And is it a national holiday tomorrow in Baltimore because Manny Machado is going to be back in town?
Well, there's been a little celebration. Yeah, a little bit. There's been a little celebration added to the holiday with the announcement that Adalie Rushman, the top overall pick, the catcher from Oregon State, has signed his deal with the Orioles and will be introduced at some point during the game tomorrow. I'm wondering if that was by design by the Orioles to sort of counter Manny's arrival. But there is a lot of anticipation of his return for the first time since being traded away at the All-Star break last year. And it should be a mixed reception.
I was getting ready to ask you that, Jerry. I mean, this past weekend in Pittsburgh was really the first place I think Manny has been to where he wasn't booed. What type of reception do you think he'll get in Baltimore? You think it's going to be mixed, huh?
Yeah, Tony, I've been on the record in saying that I think it will start with some heavy booing mixed in with some cheers, and then there'll be some more cheering as maybe the night goes along, as they show probably a montage of him at some point. But I would think overall, when he comes to the plate, it would be mostly boos. It's funny how you mentioned the way it's played out in a lot of visiting ballparks, because there's some revisionist history here about certainly all the great things he did for the franchise, but some of the criticism that he has had in print, most notably the Sports Illustrated, where it seemed like he was blaming the fan base, later clarified it and just said it was more ownership. But there's still some fans unhappy with the way he, you know, the way he played here, the way he didn't show up for certain events. And it wouldn't be like a guy like from San Diego, Adam Jones, per se, returning, who I think would get a much more favorable outcome and reception.
Well, that's because Adam Jones is on our show all the time, and we've taught him all the best way to hang out and be. And no, he's a terrific guy. You know, he really truly is, and I appreciate you saying that about a good San Diego guy.
Yep.
You know, the thing with Manny Machado is we heard so many different stories, Jerry, before he got here, and I got to be honest with you. He's been like aces in San Diego. I don't know what you guys have all heard there. Now, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there was one pop fly to center field that he didn't sprint all the way to second base. For the most part, though, maybe there's been a couple of interviews he's turned down here and there. But it seems like for the most part, man, he's been a great teammate. He's been very friendly. He's out at games. He's signing autographs. He's mixing with the fans. Is that word getting back to Baltimore? And if so, is that surprising to the people in Baltimore?
That word actually has not gotten back to that degree, to be honest with you, Chris. I guess the smart aleck reply that I would have, and maybe some other skeptical Oriole fans, is that, you know, $300 million will change a person in that way.
Right.
And maybe make you a little bit different. So it's a new leash on life for him, obviously, being out there. He felt like somehow the Orioles owed him an explanation about where they were trading him, and there's just still some things that he says that probably rub people the wrong way, not just here in Baltimore, but around baseball for the style he plays. And, I mean, I guess it's gone well so far, and, you know, he's put up the numbers that you would expect for a guy of his caliber, but again, his reputation is not as great as, let's say, an Albert Pujols coming back to St. Louis. It's not going to be that type of return.
Jerry, I want to talk to you a little bit about the baseball side of Manny Machado. He got off to a relatively slow start here in San Diego. He started to pick it up as of late offensively. He's been as advertised when we talked to you that first day defensively. Over the years that you watched Manny play, is he known as a slow starter and kind of picking it up in the second half? What do you read into his start? Is this something that he normally does?
It has been that way in the past, to be honest, Tony, and a lot of that's attributed to the weather, which I guess you can't blame being out in San Diego because
no.
He does enjoy the warm weather. Maybe he was just getting acclimated to his new surroundings. He was in the National League briefly, obviously, with the Dodgers and during the postseason. Maybe it was just, you know, getting started and all the pressure of the contract. But I would anticipate he would put up the numbers. And, you know, this is where he's at its best, is at third base and not at shortstop, where he forced his way last year under Buck Showalter. He's a platinum glove third baseman. He's a borderline gold glove shortstop. He's definitely much better defensively at the corner.
Jerry Coleman is with us, Baltimore Orioles reporter, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Of course, Padres are headed that way. That means Manny Machado returning home for the first time to Baltimore. And Jerry joining us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. The whole Oriole organization, I know that we don't have a lot of people who follow Baltimore here in San Diego, but, I mean, just baseball fans in general, I think, wonder what has happened to this proud organization. I mean, the Baltimore Orioles in my lifetime have been one of the top organizations. I know that they're competing against the Red Sox and Yankees, et cetera, but to see the Baltimore Orioles sitting there with 110 losses and this year, what, they're 26-55 or something like that. It surprises me that this organization has gone down this much. What has happened, and is there a promise of brighter days ahead in Baltimore?
Well, I guess that's what tomorrow is all about, is, you know, saying goodbye to the past and bringing in the new with the catcher, Adley Rutschman. They're on pace again to have the first overall pick this year. So that's what they need to do under their new leadership. And for the first time ever in the Orioles' history, they've admitted they're in a rebuild mode. So they're going to finish with probably the worst record, if not the second worst record, and they'll be fine with that to pick near the top, if not the top pick again. Just like Mike Elias, the new GM, had that luxury in Houston in rebuilding that franchise, which is one of the reasons they brought him in. So it's a very bad baseball team. The fans have anticipated that. Some are still uneasy about it because they've never been through something like this. But this team is going to continue to lose because they just don't have the talent nor the depth right now. A lot of their best pitching and a lot of their better players aren't even at AAA. They're at AA and at A. So they're in a phase right now where they're going to continue to finish last, at least for a third straight year, and patience is being required. But Peter Angelos, the longtime owner of this team, has been not well, and he has stepped really away. His sons are running the ball club. They're the ones that brought in Mike Elias and Sig Meidel from the Astros, and those guys brought in Brandon Hyde from the Cubs. And again, it's been a learning process for all of them here, but they're hoping to turn the page in the next couple of years and just begging the fans' patience.
You mentioned Adley Rutschman, first overall pick, reportedly has signed for $8.1 million. The club hasn't confirmed that yet, so it's reportedly until they do. But they feel pretty highly about this guy. What are you hearing that has the Baltimore Orioles so excited about this young man?
Well, they just felt like, Tony, he was head and shoulders above everyone else, including the second pick, Bobby Witt. So we'll see, because those two are going to be linked forever. But he's a kid that obviously can hit for power. He can spray the ball around. Excellent defensively. Won all the major awards in college. Led his team to a college World Series in his junior season. So he checks off all the boxes. And he's a guy that we still don't know where he's going to start in the minor league system or when, because he just played an exhausting college season. But he's being looked upon as one of the saviors of this ball club. So they put together a very good draft, they feel. They've signed most of the guys. And, again, if they finish in last place, they'll have to do it all over again. And that's what Elias ended up doing in Houston and helping to rebuild that club. It wasn't just 1 year. It was multiple years of number one pick.
Well, it'll be interesting to see Manny Machado coming back to Camden Yards tomorrow night, next two games in Baltimore. Jerry, thank you so much for the insight. Appreciate it. And good luck to the Orioles. Hopefully by the time they come around, the Padres will be waiting for them in a World Series somewhere down the road.
Yeah, that'll be sometime later this century, I foresee it probably. But thanks so much, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Having Jerry, me on, you, do Jerry. Appreciate
good
it.
Line.
Sometimes there's just not enough time in the day to talk all the sports we want.
I feel reborn. I'm like a phoenix.
Settle in and saddle up. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I just have to tell you guys, I just risked my life to go outside.
What?
I risked my life to go outside and find out how many more Padres tickets we have.
You risked your life.
There were so many people, I couldn't get up to the front.
Oh, is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, I had to make it through all... Uh-oh, Chris is giving me that look like...
Chris, you're being accused of something that you're not even doing.
Okay. We have 8 tickets left, Padres Giants tickets left. So if you are...
We started with 80.
Yes. If you're on the 8 parking lot... You could stop by the Buffalo Wild Wings in Mission Valley and try to get those last 8 tickets.
What was that character in The Simpsons with the crazy hair?
Sideshow Bob?
That was that laugh right there.
I thought when you were talking about crazy hair, you were looking at me, so I figured I'd...
No, your hair's looking good right now. No, your hair's looking good.
I don't take shots at people with lack of hair, considering
fair enough.
I don't have any
fair
myself.
Enough.
So.
I got no problem with that, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because it's not nice. But they have 8 tickets left, Padres and Giants, and then when they don't have any more tickets left, you will get free admission to the Del Mar track. If you show up, they have a lot of those, and you can. It's used for any day except for opening day, and you can go to all the concerts and all that cool stuff. So just come on by the Buffalo Wild Wings in Mission Valley and pick up some tickets.
Are we almost to that time of year again?
Yeah.
Yeah, Del Mar starts in like 2 weeks.
That's great. I feel like we just had this conversation like a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Apparently not.
No.
All right, let's get into it because they're... Well, let's get to number 5 first.
Number 5.
This whole thing is pretty much, Big Five is pretty much about baseball because there was a lot of emotion that went into baseball over the weekend.
The dog days of June and July are hitting. People are quite ornery.
You have managers fighting reporters. You got Madison Bumgarner and Max Muncy going at it because the Dodgers and the Giants don't like each other. Less than 2 weeks after Mad Bum got into it with Max Muncy for watching his home run sail into the Pacific Ocean in San Francisco, Muncy wore a, quote, go get it out of the ocean t-shirt during batting practice prior to the Dodgers matchup with Bumgarner at Dodger Stadium. LA tried to troll and poke fun at Bumgarner throughout the game, playing under the sea during his first inning warm-up. And it didn't make one of the Giants relievers happy. Jeremy Affeld, who won a couple or 3 World Series with the Giants during that run, he wasn't a fan. He said it's the shirt thing, and then all of a sudden it's the first inning, Bum's coming out and they play the Little Mermaid song, and then the base is loaded and they show Lucille around sharks in the bay. You see all these things that they do, and for me, it's just so minor league when they do that stuff. It's just not what you do at the big league level, end quote. That was Jeremy Affeld. Tony, do you think the Dodgers' antics are minor league?
It was pretty petty.
I
will admit that. But listen, here's the thing. The only issue I have with Jeremy, and I, by the way, love competing against him. He's a good dude. The thing I have a problem with is I didn't hear Jeremy saying anything when Bumgarner was constantly yelling at hitters for popping up. That's kind of minor league too, but he's been doing it his whole career. Nobody has said anything. Bum always knows the right guys to do it to that aren't going to escalate it any further, because I can think of a couple guys off the top of my head that he never did it to. Had he done it, there would have been instant fist cup.
Give me
Prince Fielder comes to mind immediately.
Well, there was some bad blood between the Giants and the Brewers, right?
It was, but that had more to do with Matt Cain and Prince's celebration jumping on home plate and exploding. That's a different story. But I will say...
That was one of the great celebrations of all time.
It made the Giants really mad, though.
They seem to get mad at teams celebrating against them when Mad Bum is always yelling at other people. So my issue isn't necessarily what Jeremy said, because he's kind of right. I mean, you already told him to go get the ball out of the ocean after you, like, right after you hit it.
You didn't
need a shirt to confirm it the following series. So, a little petty on the Dodgers' part. They probably pushed it a little too far, but that's what you get when you're that pitcher that is constantly yelling at everybody, and they've seen this act for who knows how long. So there's some lingering effects to it, I guess.
Chris, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I cannot believe that Madison Bumgarner did not beeline Max Muncy with a baseball to the ribs.
I watched for that reason.
I was stunned that didn't happen. I thought that the shirt was funny. I think all of the other stuff coming from the scoreboard is out of line. And I would say that for any team in Major League Baseball. I think that the scoreboard is there to play some music, get the fans excited, show some highlights, do the kinds of things and giveaways that they do.
I agree.
I do not think scoreboards are there to take shots at opposition players.
You shouldn't be participating in what's going on between player and player.
I just don't think so. I maybe is that old man off my lawn?
No,
talk
I don't think
or
so,
not.
No.
I just think the scoreboard, you know, to a certain extent, the scoreboard itself has to remain a little neutral. I understand you're rooting for the home team and the fan. Hey, the fans can yell at Madison Bumgarner all they want to. They can boo him all they want to. But I don't need Madison Bumgarner coming to the plate to Little Mermaid music and trying to poke fun at the guy. I just don't think it's right. And I will say this. When Max Muncy gets to San Francisco again, I'm sure the Giants will retaliate, and this will probably continue to escalate until somebody steps in or there's a big, huge brawl somewhere. And that's why scoreboards need to stay out of this stuff. So I agree with Jeremy Affeldt 100%.
I don't think there'll be a brawl, though, because clearly Bumgarner didn't want to. He had his opportunity immediately.
No kidding.
And he chose not to. So I think that leads us to believe that this is probably deeper to us than it is to those guys on the field. But I agree with Chris on this one. It's one thing for the players to be having a good banter back and forth, but once the organist and the once they get involved,
under the sea,
it's kind of like you're piling on now.
That's too much.
Darling, it's better.
That's too
where
much.
Where is winter? Way under
next,
the sea.
Next question, please.
Number four. Speaking of trolling at the Major League level, Blue Jays starting pitcher Marcus Stroman had a pretty impressive start against the Red Sox at Fenway yesterday.
Do we have this sound?
We do.
Oh, lovely.
He got the win, going six strong in, striking out five and giving up no runs, but Stroman was really pumped up. Listen to what the mics picked up after he struck out a few batters. You have to listen closely, but you can hear him screaming after he does this. All right, Thomas, hit the clip.
Benintendi not going, and it's strike three called to get Martinez. And he got him. And he's pumped up about it.
Can you play that one more time, please?
Benintendi not going, and it's strike three called to get Martinez. And he got him. And he's pumped up about it.
So that is Marcus Stroman being caught by the field mics and everything. And you can hear him screaming, yeah!
And he got him.
That's the best one.
Thanks to SN590 in Toronto for that audio. He yelled towards the Red Sox dugout, and Tony made a good point to me right before we did this. None of the Red Sox had a problem with it. You know who did have a problem with it? Broadcaster Dennis Eckersley. He called the self-promoting, quote-unquote, tired during the broadcast, and the internet immediately reminded Dennis Eckersley that he used to do crazy things on the mound after he struck
undefeated.
Out guys. Yes, they are.
The internet is undefeated.
Chris, do you think it's hypocritical of Eckersley to call out Stroman for his reaction?
All right, my first answer to this question was Marcus Stroman ought to grow up, strike somebody out, and look like you've been there before. And pitching six innings in a game does not impress me.
That was going to be
my first reaction.
The six innings part. Yeah.
However, now that you have told me Dennis Eckersley was upset about it.
It's tired.
Hey, Dennis, shut up. Nobody celebrated an out more excitedly than Dennis Eckersley.
And he got
it. He almost
And he's
no, Dennis Eckersley almost threw his arm out of his socket every time he got a strikeout. He pointed at guys. He escalated every single situation. When he gave up the home run to Kirk Gibson in that World Series, there were people all around baseball who could not have been doing. They were so happy that Dennis Eckersley finally had to shut up for once. So this is really hypocritical of Dennis Eckersley to be critical of a guy celebrating.
Real quick, Marcus Stroman, someone put something online of Dennis Eckersley doing that, and Marcus Stroman quote tweeted that tweet and just said hypocrite. So he's not holding back. Tony, what do you think?
By the way, Marcus Stroman is one of the best in the game on Twitter.
Like, I'm just learning this.
His Twitter game is very strong. Absolutely. You know, when I was a little kid, you know, a lot of my remedies to things were, gosh, just wish my dad could face him. And Dennis Eckersley fell on that list because you're right. He used to embarrass you after he punched you out for the last out of the game, point at you, chainsaw you, whatever it is. He might have been the inventor of all pitchers doing it, as a matter of fact. So it's a little bit,
rich.
I like to say. It's a little rich to hear Dennis Eckersley call it tired, because if that's tired, his whole career of celebrating after was just a debacle then.
Let's hear it one more time, and then you can go to number three, Thomas.
And he's pumped. And he's pumped up about it.
Yes, he is, Dan Schulman. He is pumped up. Let's go to number three.
Number three.
The Nationals have had the worst bullpen in the major leagues this year, and they have finally made a move. They cut reliever Trevor Rosenthal. Rosenthal's stint with the Nats results in final stats that are kind of crazy. After 6 1/3 innings pitched and 12 appearances, he faced 43 batters. He managed to only get 19 outs, only struck out 5, walked 15, hit 5 players by a pitch, 5 wild pitches, and allowed 8 hits and 16 earned runs with a 22.74 ERA. Whew. Some say a change of scenery can help a player. Tony, do you think the Padres should take a look at bringing him in for middle relief?
Yeah, I think they could. I think they should. First of all, when you have a pitching coach like Darren Bawsley, anybody's salvageable, in my opinion. He's that good at his job. So, absolutely, you take a look at him. I just find it to be kind of weird that you release the guy after 6 1/3 inning pitch. He's been the least of their problems out of the bullpen because he's been hurt for most of the year. He just recently came off the DL. So, I mean, there are a lot of other guys who've been pitching in that bullpen that probably could have been in this boat. They chose to use Rosenthal as kind of the scapegoat in their troublesome bullpen that's been like this all season, with the exception of Doolittle. I don't want to loop him in because he's been terrific as usual, although he had a rough day here. Yes, I think the Padres should take a look at him. And I think a big part of that is because they have Darren Bawsley.
What do you think, Chris? Do you think the Padres should look at Trevor Rosenthal?
This is a close one. Rosenthal was a 38-save, 40-save kind of guy about 3 years ago for the Cardinals. All-star caliber closer. But the last 3 years, it's not just this year. It's really been the last 3 years that he has, for whatever, lost it. I think this would be one of Darren Bawsley's greatest jobs of all time, reclamation projects. However, how many teams gave up on Kirby Yates?
Ding, ding, ding,
good
ding.
How many teams gave up on Craig Stammen? How many? I mean, it is uncanny how many good Padre relief pitchers were scrap heap material elsewhere. And Rosenthal fits that to a T. But I just want you to be clear that he has struggled for like 3 seasons, not just this season.
Yeah.
So it would be very, very challenging for Bawsley and the Padres to get him straightened out.
All right, let's go to number two.
Number two.
We now know at least one person who will be participating in the 2019 Home Run Derby in Cleveland next month. No, it's not Framil Reyes. No, it's not Hunter Renfroe. It's Toronto Blue Jays star rookie Vladimir
Before
Guerrero
Before you go any further, is this
Jr.
correct?
Yes, he on Twitter confirmed it.
He confirmed that he wants to participate.
No, they asked him.
You sure?
Guys back in studio, can you bail me out here?
No.
I'm pretty sure he said he wants to be a part of it. I don't think that they've announced
who's going
to be.
Well, then the article that I read this morning is completely wrong.
When you read articles, somehow you seem to read things that aren't there. I don't know how you do it, but you do it often.
Anyway, either way, if he's invited, he wants to participate, let's just say.
Okay.
All right.
At least he wants to participate.
Yes.
We know that much.
He's not having the year fans wanted. He's 246 with 7 homers and just 20 RBIs in, I think, 48 games. Chris, do you think Vlad Jr. should receive a spot in the home run derby?
Should he receive one?
Well, I had to make that question up kind of on the fly, so...
He's actually one of the guys I'd probably tune in to watch, so I don't have a problem with it. The Home Run Derby is an exhibition. Popular players. I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is somebody I don't get to see very much. He's in the American League. Heard amazing things about him, so I think it'd be fun to have him in. Obviously, San Diego homer. I want to see Franmil there. I think that baseball needs a character like that in a competition like this. But no longer is the Home Run Derby about who's the best Home Run Derby hitter in all of baseball, because the top 30, 40 guys don't even want to participate. It's almost like you're not cool enough unless you've turned down the Home Run Derby a couple of times. So with that in mind, I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is probably an all right choice.
Scraby, I got an update
MLB
for
Networks.
You.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead. I was going to say, SportsCenter 3 days ago on Twitter said Vladimir Guerrero grew up watching his dad compete in the Home Run Derby. Now Vlad Jr. will reportedly be competing in the 2019 Home Run Derby. That was a SportsCenter Twitter.
That makes me feel good.
3 days ago.
Thank you, Thomas,
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. So he is going to be participating in it, Tony.
Apparently.
Tony,
do
you think he should have received a spot?
Yeah. I mean, he is a guy, as Chris said, that I think a lot of people would tune in to see how far he can hit the ball. He has the name recognition you want in a home run derby. And more importantly, he would actually go out there and try to compete in it. He's still a young guy. He probably, as he said, he saw his dad competing, so it probably means more to him than it does to most guys who get the opportunity, because he's been a part of this before, watching his pops. And now to be able to compete in the same game that his dad got to compete
cool.
in, it's probably a pretty cool moment, and it's probably why baseball allegedly or reportedly has already given him a spot.
Reports are being confirmed by Sports Illustrated, MLB Network's Hazel May. Chris
right. rolls anytime,
his eyes.
Anytime you confirm a report, I'm going to roll my eyes.
All right, let's get to number one quickly.
Just very quickly, I want to add this.
Yes.
They could have 8 Vladimir Guerreros. It doesn't matter to me. Unless Franmil's in it, I will not watch the Home Run Derby.
We have a boycott.
Nor will I ever watch the Home Run Derby. Franmil's the only reason I will ever tune that in again. To me, it's tired. It's time to go away.
Have you watched the new one?
I'm old. Get off my lawn.
You might like the new one.
The new one's legit.
The new one is good. It has different rounds. It keeps you engaged.
No, it doesn't. I've tried. Well, okay. It doesn't keep me engaged.
He said get off his lawn, so get off his lawn.
Get off!
Let's go to number one. The Mets have an issue on their hands, and it's because there was a near fight after the game between manager Mickey Callaway and a reporter and pitcher Jason Vargas, who had to be restrained from charging the writer during a confrontation. You know who restrained him? Noah Syndergaard and
Thor
and one of his other teammates did that. I guess the reporter said something to Mickey Callaway on his way out, like, see you tomorrow, Mickey, and Mickey took that as a jerky comment, yelled back at him. Vargas heard that. And Vargas tried to go after him, too. And we don't have time to read all the quotes and everything. But, Tony, who do you blame in this whole situation? The reporter or the team?
I don't blame the team.
The Mets did apologize.
Sorry. I blame Callaway and
Vargas.
And Vargas, Jason, because they're professionals. They got to handle it. Now, I will say this is not as simple as the guy said. This is a beat reporter. So you have to remember, in terms of the entire season, they cover each other every day.
Yes.
They see each other every day. So saying something, I'll see you tomorrow, could mean something a whole lot different in the framework of we've been covering each other, or you've been covering us the whole year. There's probably some build up there. That doesn't excuse Mickey Callaway and Jason Vargas for their actions. Listen, ultimately, you got to be able to stay composed regardless of what a reporter says. Even if he's being a jerk, you still got to be. You can't have Jason, you know,
He said this, quote, I'll knock you the bleep out, bro.
Yeah, that's, you know, and some of this is frustration, too. You know, these guys are losing games. They're in the hottest media market possible, the biggest media market possible. So, you know, that's kind of where it's at. This is on the players.
Yes.
And manager.
Tony hit it perfectly, and I know we're up against the bottom of the hour. I don't have anything a whole lot different to add to this.
Okay.
Players and managers have to be above jerky reporters. Yes,
right. Period.
End of story.
All right, real quick, we're out of Padres tickets because so many people have come by the Good. Buffalo Wild Wings in Mission Valley, but we do have Del Mar Racing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tickets to give away free admissions.
Gwen and Chris wanted to rank things, and that means whatever they want.
Come on, don't get weird.
They bring you their top five of the day because it's time to start the countdown.
All right, before we start, I have to ask you a question. What do you think will happen? Because Joe Maddon is involved in this with the Cubs. It looks to me, based on what I see on the screen, that Wilson Contreras totally started this whole thing.
100%.
Tyler Flowers was just like, what's your problem? And then got mad. You know, will Joe Maddon throw at Tyler Flowers is what I'm asking you. Because Joe Maddon almost always has to retaliate.
That would be Bush League if they did that.
I think it would
be,
too.
The only thing I can think of that might have irritated Contreras is when he was disagreeing with the call, Flowers might have said, man, it wasn't that bad of a pick. He said something.
Right. He might have said, just turn around and hit.
He could have
something
said
like that.
Something along those lines that got under his skin. But nevertheless, it didn't. Shouldn't have caused all of that ridiculousness. So let's get to these sauces.
Yes.
Would you like to go first, my friends?
Yes,
I
would.
Have been sampling here today.
Yes, my number five favorite sauce at Buffalo Wild Wings is in honor of my friend Matt Scraby. It's called Caribbean Jerk.
You are a Caribbean Jerk. I thought he was going to do something nice and go with one of mine because I don't get any. And he's going to say mango habanero, but no, he said Caribbean Jerk.
That was just too easy for the taking.
It was like an alley by the rim.
Thomas saved that clip, unfortunately.
That was Draymond Green lobbing me one on a 4-foot rim.
I didn't see it coming from a million miles away.
I'm glad you clarified how high the rim was on that.
Yes, because at 10 feet, I wouldn't be anywhere near it.
All right, my number five, I'm going to go from least hot to hottest. All right, so I'm going to start with Parmesan garlic. I don't think you can go wrong with anything that has Parmesan and garlic in it in general.
It's a good combo.
Especially if you put it on top of wings.
Number four.
Number four for me is... Now, see, I don't want to be critical of any of them because we're at Buffalo Wild Wings right now, and these guys do a great job, and they're taking care of us and all of our people.
You got to go for your taste buds, though.
Yeah, I do have to go with my taste buds, and mango doesn't work for me that well, and I don't like hot.
Pretty much the top six are off.
I'm the opposite of hot.
Cold?
Which is not exactly what I wanted to say either, but that's how it came out.
I'm the opposite of hot.
So my number four is going to be teriyaki sweet barbecue.
Oh.
And that's the least hot of all of the sauces. So that's probably why it's on my list for sure.
I how can you not have a wing sauce list without buffalo? Buffalo medium classic, not too hot, but certainly not too cold. So give me Buffalo Mild or Buffalo Medium for my number four favorite sauce here at Buffalo Wild Wings.
All right. I have a couple of issues. Number one, I like Buffalo Wild Wings because they have boneless.
Yes.
I never was a wing fan.
You guys
fan.
Are killing me with
Isn't
you.
That weird? So that's why I leave buffalo
it
sauce
is weird,
out.
Actually,
it's not.
Because between the wing and the buffalo sauce, I didn't think that was that great of an invention. the invention was the people at Buffalo Wild Wings coming up with the boneless chicken and all these other sauces. That was the invention.
How can you be?
And honey barbecue is number three, people.
How can you be a get off my lawn type of guy and not like traditional wings? I just don't understand.
They invented them in Buffalo. What's the big whoop about that?
I'm just having.
Do you
a
know?
Time.
Get yourself an order of like 15 wings anywhere but Buffalo Wild Wings, because here they got juicy chicken and it's all over the place. But you go get yourself some wings somewhere, and you tell me how much chicken you're getting and how much wing you're getting, and then I'll explain to you why Buffalo Wings themselves was not the greatest invention.
Do
of
you
all
like
time.
Your wings to be meaty?
Yes, you I like the chicken.
Yeah, give me the wings or the boneless. Come
I don't
on,
want the bone.
Give guys, me the boneless.
You guys aren't real buffalo wing eaters.
No,
I'm fine with that.
All right, what number are we on? Three.
You're on three.
I'm on three. Number three on my top five list. Caribbean jerk.
What?
There we go. it's good.
It's a
dry rub,
medium dry rub wing, kind of like scrapie.
Man, they're quick on that button today.
It's Monday.
All right, my number two.
Wait, there you go.
Is Caribbean jerk.
You don't pick another one.
What?
You already picked that
one. I can't
one.
Have it as number five
no,
and
pick
number
another
two?
One. No.
Oh. No, I'm kidding. I have my number one here, but I'm saving up. I don't think I tried this one yet, but I like the name. This kind of is scrabby-like in a certain...
I don't like it.
You twist this around enough. Asian zing.
Okay.
What was the...
That's a good one. Philip said I'm giving the thumbs up on that one, so I'm going to go heavy now with that one.
We did hear from the young ladies here that is one of the more popular...
Yes. That is a popular one.
...flavors right. out there, so... Kudos to you for picking
and honey,
that one.
Well, I don't want to give it away.
Yeah.
I just did that one number three.
Well, you can't give it away for me because it's not on my list.
Ooh.
Number two.
He's
on
going
my
hot,
list.
Hot, hot,
yes.
hot.
Jammin' jalapeno.
Yes.
How can you not have a hot wing with at least some type of spice in there like a jalapeno?
Because it's not really called a hot wing. It's called a buffalo wing.
Buffalo, or they're called hot wings too.
He's right.
Know. God, I know. Not mine.
Did you see the sulking?
Not mine. Number one flavor for me is spicy garlic. Don't worry, I ain't kissing none of y'all. But I love the spicy garlic. That's the bomb for me.
The bomb, he said.
Yeah.
All right. My number one flavor. Doesn't work for my partner, Chris, at all.
Mm-mm.
But it works for TG. Mango habanero.
Yes!
Believe it.
That's a double whammy for
yes!
me.
Yes!
Listen, I mean, that is the, third hottest wing sauce.
That is as hot
here.
As you can get, and it's got the taste of mango.
Dude, you don't like mangoes?
When is the last time you just munched down a mango?
The other day, as a matter of fact. We have mangoes in our house all the time because my daughter is obsessed with them. So I have them often. It's a great fruit.
Your daughter and my wife, because she loves mangoes too.
Mango habanero is the best thing on the menu.
Well, that is our countdown for today.
All right.
The countdown is now closed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.